is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to September 2020. I am your happy host, Karen Cataline, and oh my, every time we think we've seen it all, we haven't. Welcome to Spouting Off, and most times elections, you know, the sprint to the finish happen after Labor Day. I was wondering if this election was in earnest, and we're just seeing stuff that is blowing my mind. You know what I wanted to do is just read some of these tweets that I've been putting out because, you know, I don't have time anymore to post an entire piece, at least not right now. There's so much going on. If I take the time for 2 days or whatever it takes sometimes for me to post a piece in Western Journal or something like that, I've missed out on, I don't know, six stories already. And, you know, it's very interesting. One of the tweets, one of the things that I was thinking after so much that's happened this week that basically exposes the left for who they really are. Of course, we've been seeing who they really are and who they really were for a very long time, is this whole thing with Nancy Pelosi. And what I thought was, you know, we've been doing it all wrong. We have just been doing it all wrong. And this is kind of what I tweeted because, and I got a lot of response from it. You know, conservatives, talk show hosts, people who are, you know, in politics and make their living in politics, if you can believe that. They think, well, you know, what I really have to do is I have to make my case. I have to let people know just how terrible socialism is and try to inform and educate and entertain and do all these things. We have to argue policy. We have to explain why our ideas are better. We have to do all that because we've been behind the eight ball, as I've said many times, in education. We just thought that the young would understand what America's about by living here. But, you know, under our noses, not only has there been all this indoctrination going on, but there's a lot of ignorance. The left, that doesn't mean conservatives are perfect. I just have to qualify that. The left is invested in keeping people stupid about what America is all about. And we have not stepped up our game in the educational arena. But that doesn't mean that we're going to need 40 years to do it the way that they've taken way more than 40 years to de-edumacate people. And that doesn't just mean the young. It means people of all ages who are learning somehow that America is a terrible, horrible, racist, awful, evil country. And that's from people who are pretty evil themselves, who don't hold themselves accountable to the rules that they impose on everyone else. We'll get to that in a moment. Who claim a moral high ground while they rob, rape, steal, and burn down our cities and then tell us that they're in the social justice business. All of this is an entire cartoon. If it weren't so sad, if it weren't so scary and serious, we'd be laughing at it. And I contend we ought to be doing a little more laughing in this sprint to the finish of the most important campaign of a lifetime, at least since the last one. I contend, sadly, thank God, that had it not been for Donald Trump, this country would be even worse, if we can imagine, than it is now. We're being treated to what they had in mind all along. They just would have done it on their own time frame instead of on Trump's time frame. I think they're going broke. But what I really, what I was, what I was driving at here is that we thought if we would just make the right argument, we have the better ideas. We need to reason with people. We need to be, make our arguments. And what we didn't understand, and hopefully people are starting to understand it now, is that all we needed was about a 13-second video of Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done in San Francisco. That was it. Now, there's a whole bunch more where that came from. It is stunning how many people, Democrat bureaucrats, demagogues, and out-and-out liars are being exposed for the people that they really are and have been all along. Now, I'm much more concerned about their policies that are imposing this on the rest of us. But honestly, there's really nothing new under the sun. Socialists have appointed themselves Lord and Master over the rest of us, and yet they wish to exempt themselves from the responsibility and from the laws and rules and stupidity that they impose on everyone else. And that little video of Nancy Pelosi, that little video is what we needed to illustrate it. Again, there have been so many others, including mayors and governors, and but Nancy Pelosi, the third most powerful woman in the country. And then we saw, what was her argument? Well, they don't have very many arguments. They always go to the same thing. Pretty soon, just like the punchline in a joke, just choose number three. Number one is blame everybody else. Number two is I was set up, which is a derivative of number one. Be a victim, another derivative of number one. Just blame everyone else. Never take responsibility for anything, and continue to spin a web of fraud and deceit around the people, and then bully them and intimidate them into accepting your alternate reality, so that pretty soon the lie will become a fraudulent truth. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what we are watching again and again and again. I don't have all these things in front of me. I should, I just got through watching 30, count them, 30 Joe Biden flubs bloopers, I guess you could call them. I don't know how bloopery they are. If you want to watch these, there is a great video. And these are only 30. I mean, we could do 30 a week with this guy. And I contend that this is yet another fraud. These people, the left, of all the people they could have chosen to run for president and carry their banner, because they've been driving us crazy for almost 4 years about how terrible, awful, horrible, and unfit Donald Trump is to be president of the United States. And this is the best they could come up with. And see, we're not and it isn't just Joe Biden. It's his running mate, who is a red diaper baby communist. She's never disavowed communism. As a matter of fact, she's even more radical than her voting record suggests. This twosome is who they expect us to replace Donald Trump with, because Donald Trump is such a bad president. Meanwhile, they have not reported anything good Donald Trump has done. If there are people that have the guts, it's amazing. It takes courage and guts these days to actually watch the other side of the argument. You're not supposed to do that. This is a cult, and you don't dare listen to the other argument, no matter how reasonable and sensible it may be. And yet, so we have people, hopefully, who, when they either watched the Mount Rushmore speech, or they watched the Republican National Convention, or they're continuing to watch Donald Trump run rings around Biden, not only in energy, but in policy and in the ability to get the job done and get the job done for people, not the bureaucrats in Washington, but for you and me. And you don't have to agree with them. You don't even have to like them. I agree with him most of the time, and I continue to like him more and more and more. I don't believe that there is anybody on the scene in politics today who could have even withstood. Number one, they wouldn't have been confronted with the amount of hatred and the amount of sabotage that Donald Trump has been confronted with unless they were bucking the system. It seemed as if Bush was hated more than anyone. Bush, that was a walk in the park compared to what they did to this guy, to what they are doing to Donald Trump. So if people watched that Mount Rushmore speech, if they watched the Republican National Convention, and I'm hoping that there are a lot more people that did, because they continue to realize that what the left is trying to, the fraud they're trying to perpetrate on us, you know, they remind me of Baghdad Bob. There are no riots in American cities. Yeah, we're watching it every night. And if you're living in one of them, you know darn well that there are riots in American cities. Cities are being burned to the ground. People's livelihoods are being destroyed. And what can the left talk about? Racism, 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 but always in a fraudulent fashion. They never concede a point. They never tell the truth about any of these stories ever. They can't afford it because they're pushing a lie. So I keep trying. I'm so full of passion today. I can't even finish the point. The point, and I've only got 30 seconds to do it, is if anybody's having the guts to actually watch it from the president's mouth, they'll find out that everything they've been saying about Donald Trump, or almost everything, is a total and complete lie. Lie, lie, lie. That is what they've been doing. The only way you'll find that out is to hear for the very first time the number of accomplishments from this president. That's what we're finding. And for some, they're hearing it, as I've said, for the very first time. They've been getting nothing. If they've been watching CNN, that's all they've been getting. We got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to my lovely, wonderful, and hardly ever opinionated producer, Doug, about what's been going on and what he thinks. And then we're going to have a terrific guest at the bottom of the hour that I will tell you about. And we'll talk about Black Lives Matter and all of that. What's really going on there? Karen Cataline, and you're listening to live call-in talk radio here, spouting off on BBS Radio. And we'll be right back.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
Let me try that again. And welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. If you'd like to join the program and you're listening live, as you know, K-Star Radio Network carries our show on Saturday and Sunday, but they're also carrying our show right now live. So if you're listening live, don't hesitate to call in until the bottom of the hour. We've got plenty of time for your calls. You got something to rant about, something to spout off about? 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I'd love to take your call. Well, so I ranted a little bit. I was all over the place because sometimes, you know, I bite off more than I can chew. And it's only because there is so much going on that sometimes you just got to kind of look at it from 30,000 feet and say, you know what? All of this is related, every darn bit of it. If you think any of what's going on now is not about the election, you got to watch more closely. My producer, Doug, has not only is he busy with his twin brother, Don, but he has a lot of opinions. And I love putting Doug, my producer, on the air. What do you think going into Labor Day, Doug Newsom, about the election? And what are you watching that's just blown your socks off lately?
Boy, that's a lot. Hi, everyone. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Doug.
I have heard it all this week. The blatant acts of the Democratic Party came to me full force. I mean, when Pelosi went into the salon, that was just a slap. It really was, and the salon owner worded it correctly: a slap in the face.
Wasn't it though?
It's so in your face, and yet that's just one of so many of the Democratic Party elite that have done exactly that. They've told you to do something, and they themselves have done the opposite. And I think to myself, is the world that blind that they don't see this? Are they that ignorant that maybe they don't understand this, or willfully ignorant because they want to create a scenario which benefits, you know, their candidate or their party? Mm-hmm. Any way you slice it, though, it all looks bad.
Doug, both of those things are true. I think that's one of the reasons all of us are very anxiously awaiting the results of this election. God willing, we get them in a timely fashion, because you do have both. You have people like you and I, and many, many others are saying, how can people not see this? Right. This is like the emperor has no clothes,
right,
again and again and again.
Right.
You know, we're like the kid who's going, wait a second, this emperor is naked. Can't you see it?
Right.
Are you being that duped, that gullible? Right. And then you have people like the salon owner, people who gave death threats to the salon owner, not because they were angry at her for doing something wrong, but because she contributed it in exposing a lie.
Right.
And you're not supposed to expose a lie, because to a certain segment of the population, it's really all about winning. It doesn't matter how much you lie as long as you win. And
right,
that's who we are dealing with,
right,
isn't it?
It's like Edward Snowden. They just came out and basically stated that he's not guilty of anything. It was really an operation that was illegal from the very beginning by government agencies. And, you know, that's what we're seeing today. We're making the good guy who's coming out there and saying, look, you got to look at this, into,
yes,
the bad guy. And I think that's been a part of the real dumbing down of America. When we don't deal with the truth head on, we kind of just obfuscate it or not deal with it. In the case of the Democratic Party, they go beyond even that. They make up another lie, like Pelosi. She didn't just
lie,
deal with the scenario.
She was set up.
She was set up, for God's sakes.
Let me analyze that for a minute, Doug. So if she was set up, What that means is we're supposed to wink at her that we know that she's better than us.
Right.
We know that she deserves to get her hair done just like Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, who has the highest murder rate practically in the country, but she's allowed to get her hair done because she's more important than we are. Right. And we're supposed to know that.
Right.
And if we don't know that, then we're the bad guys. It's turning logic, common sense on its head.
Right, right, right.
You know, I love watching Tucker Carlson every night. It's actually the only thing I watch on Fox News anymore.
Me too.
And it's too bad, but it's hilarious to watch Tucker giggle and just be amazed that he's reporting such things. He has enormous courage. And the only reason that the left wants to get rid of him is because he continues to tell the truth and do a bang up job.
Right. I
like
him. He's number one in my books. You're right on.
Yeah.
He represents so much of what's in my mind or I want to say. And he says it not only smartly, but sometimes humorously. And he's just has so much brain power. I see him that way. Now, maybe the rest of the world doesn't see him that way, but I sure do.
Well, he does have a staff, but thank goodness he has a staff that stays on top of these things. The question, though, is why does it require so much? This is the real crux of the issue, I believe. One of the cruxes of the issue is that we're living in a time in which it requires courage to tell the truth. It requires you are being told that your concern for liberty is selfish, that remaining personally accountable for your own behavior is a bad thing. And so truly they are turning logic and goodness on its head. Good is bad. Bad is good.
Right.
Criminals are victims. Law-abiding citizens are criminals. And we are seeing the most courageous of us who stick their head up and say, wait a minute, that's wrong, get slammed down as an example for everyone else. I don't know. Where have we seen this before, Doug?
I don't even know if in maybe small pockets in history where there was great
the
evil.
Old Soviet Union,
great evil, we saw this. But it's not normal.
No.
And
not for America.
Everybody feels it. Whether they say so or not, every person in this country must feel that something's just not right.
Something is deadly not right. When I talk to people in restaurants, I never wear a mask, and I will not, okay?
Right.
Except the one time I wore a piece of cheesecloth for a protest at a Sprouts, and we ripped our masks off and sang the national anthem to prove a point, and then we walked out. These are the sales you're not going to get because you're doing the bidding of the government. But I have seen more people whisper from behind these pieces of cloth on their face to make them look, act, and behave like everyone else and subjugate them as saying what a ridiculous thing it is, how much they hate that they can't breathe, how much they hate that they're being made to do this. I don't know if I told this story, Doug. I was in, stop me if you heard this. When I was in South Dakota and I had to play a repeat of the show, Trevor Loudon, it was a fabulous show. And I went to South Dakota and they did this reenactment of a Western gunfight. And there was one of these guys, these actors wearing that scarf over their face, like you remember. In Westerns.
Mm.
And so I said a little louder than you would normally say, hey, are you a liberal or a bank robber? Are you a bank robber or a liberal? You know, because there was one or two people sitting on the sidelines waiting for this show to happen with blanks being shot, really loud gunfire. They do this gunfight every afternoon at 3 or whatever. And the poor actor was totally confused because he was an actor. You know, he didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And somebody next to me said, what's the difference? You know, that's the criminals right. are the ones who, I'm yeah. sorry. You're just, you know, one other one. I went to Walmart because I had to pick up some pants that I can't get anywhere else. But I did not wear a mask and I just picked them up and left. And it said, there's cameras at Walmart. And I looked at that and I thought about it, the alternate universe we're living in, Doug, that they're cameras in order to identify criminals and shoplifters, but the criminals and the shoplifters are being made to cover their face. So the only criminals are maskless, naked-faced people like you and me who are going in there, and we're law-abiders.
Do you know what I've noticed? I look at the Democratic Party. And I, you know, it used to be long ago, I used to think Republicans stood for wealth, they had the money. But indeed, that's not true. The Democrat cities like New York, like LA, like San Francisco, they have the money. And and they have a lot of it. They have that, what they protest against, white privilege. Well, white privilege is more dominant in the Democratic Party. So it's almost like
it's liberal privilege,
right?
Privilege.
They're lambasting themselves. So there's something rotten in their own party that puts them all on edge to the rest of the world. Because really, the Republicans are the breadbasket farmers. They don't have a lot of money. They try to get by. I just see that kind of a left-right scenario and this bubbling and brewing because all this supposed white privilege is amongst themselves in these cities that are overcrowded. And, you know, you have this super wealth, these very wealthy people, and they don't really give anything to the poor.
And they're leftists.
As a matter of fact, they're going to run when they see something on the street. There's going to be a mass exodus. There already is from these Democratic cities. I just find that really funny.
Such a good point. Doug Newsom. I'm talking to Doug Newsom here, who's wearing a second hat. I was going to say, and you've just given me a notice. I only have, you know, hey, guest, we only have 2 minutes or less. And that is that we're finding out all kinds of lies that the left has been telling us. One is that they're the guys who have the history of fighting against racism. And nothing could be further from the truth. They've been trying to cover their own ugly past with racism by blaming it on their opponents. Republicans are the ones who fought against slavery. Republicans are the ones who fought for the civil rights movement. And they just keep trying to project guilt onto others because they're guilty. Again, that does not mean Republicans are always telling the truth and always doing great, but at least we have principles. I'll give you the last word, as Bill O'Reilly used to say, and then we're going to take a break and have our guest.
We love your show, Karen. We love you. We love your show and are blessed to have you on board. Everybody listen up. This is Spotting Off with Karen Cataline.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to introduce John Perazzo. Thanks, Doug Newsom. We appreciate it. So you're listening to Spouting Off. You did a better outgo than I could, Mr. Doug. And we will be back right after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off, everyone. I've been looking forward to having this guest for a while. We are both represented by the same spectacular press representative, Sandy Frazier. And with me right now on Spouting Off is John Perrazzo. He's the editor of Discover the Networks, an encyclopedic guide to the political left, and a project of the great David Horowitz Freedom Center, whom I've had the pleasure to interview quite a few times. John is also a contributing writer to Front Page Magazine and the author of The New Shame of the Cities. Welcome to Spouting Off, John Perrazzo.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Well, it is great to have you. You seem to have done a heck of a lot of research on Black Lives Matter. And it is, I'll open this by telling you that there are these new little yard signs in liberal front yards that say how in this house we believe that Black Lives Matter and love is, it doesn't matter who you love, and a whole litany of leftist feel-good phrases that really have nothing to do with the truth. And it is, you're doing such important work to expose for people the difference between Black Lives Matter, the organization, and the slogan, the benign slogan, Black Lives Matter. So, John, why don't you tell us, give us some ammo, because most of my listeners probably agree with you, what we can tell our friends and neighbors about this organization, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, the name was chosen for exactly the reason that you're describing. It's a benign-sounding name. It's a slogan that no one really takes offense to. No one can really object to it. Most Americans overwhelmingly agree with the notion that Black Lives Matter and that all lives matter, which of course has become something that you're not allowed to say anymore in the eyes of Black Lives Matter. But Americans understand that the dignity of every human being, black or white, is something that we treasure in this country. But the reason that they chose this slogan as their name is because exactly what you're describing, people would see that as something that they could proudly endorse, proudly embrace, and they would proudly put up their yard signs, as you describe, and they would show that they embrace these values. But underneath that name is an agenda. Behind that name is an agenda that is a very dangerous one. It's a hate America agenda, and it's a Marxist agenda. The founders of this organization are hardline revolutionary Marxists. They've made no bones about it. They're clearly people who embrace Marxist doctrine. And so if you want to know about an organization and what it's all about, it really helps to look at who the founders are and what they stand for.
Mm-hmm. So connect the dots for us when someone like me tells my stepdaughter, right, my husband's daughter, who's a well-meaning young woman with children of her own, that Black Lives Matter is a Marxist anti-Semitic organization. I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian, so I'm Jewish and I care about that, and the number of Jewish organizations that support this Marxist anti-Semitic group is stunning. I just sent something out about it. So help us connect the dots between Marxism and this issue of racism. What do the two have in common? You know, why are they using this race in order to push a Marxist agenda?
Yeah, Marxists understand that when you have a crisis, when you have anarchy and fear in a society, that sets up a perfect climate for the type of revolutionary change that they're interested in. And that's exactly what they're pushing for. They're pushing for this notion that systemic racism is something that's out of hand in America. And they've caused many people to really question themselves and white people to confess their own racism that they were supposedly unaware of before. But the founders of this organization, you can tell the people that you mentioned, are revolutionary Marxists who embrace the notion that the country, capitalism, is an evil system and that black people are its main victims.
Mm. And when you get people to unknowingly accept one premise, then you know, they almost unknowingly accept the whole package. It's kind of like, and I'm going in this direction anyway, and I am aware, you could correct me if I'm wrong, that in evangelical Islam, if you say certain things, you've kind of been converted, even if you yourself didn't know it. And so if you say Black Lives Matter, and what you mean is that Black people's lives matter, even in Chicago, or even in the womb, then you've been co-opted without your knowledge.
Yes.
Isn't that fascinating? I mean, yeah, go ahead. Comment on that.
When you say Black Lives Matter to the organization Black Lives Matter, you're really acknowledging that their vision of the world is correct, and that their vision of America as a racist nation is correct. You're tacitly confessing your sinfulness. This is what they want. That's why they get up in people's faces. They never accept any type of conciliation. They never meet anyone halfway. They're devoted to what's called eternal war. Their objective is not to have peaceful coexistence, but it's to absolutely destroy their enemies. And they're very clear about this. They make no bones about it.
Eternal war. And that's in their doctrines, right? What's the ultimate goal? Yes.
Yeah, they embrace the doctrines of a man named Saul Alinsky. He's been dead for almost a half a century. But he's a major influence on the left. He was a major influence on Hillary Clinton, a major influence on Barack Obama. And Black Lives Matter has actually taught workshops on the Alinsky philosophy, the Alinsky method. Mm. And what he taught was that you have to make your enemy, which in this case is white police officers for the most part, you have to make them the personification of evil. You have to present them as evil beings who have no redeeming qualities. And your objective is to wage eternal war against these people. And he used the words eternal war, and this is exactly what they taught in the workshops at the Black Lives Matter trainings. So this is what the organization is dedicated to, which explains why they are so militant when they're in the streets. It explains why just a few days ago they had 700 or 800 people marching through the streets of Oakland, California, chanting death to America. They're not interested in improving our society and improving race relations or even improving the lives of Black people. They are interested in destroying what exists now.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be more clear than ever, and they've unleashed all this in an election year for obvious reasons. I want to go back to something you said. My ears always perk up. Obviously, I'm aware of Saul Alinsky, and it is just so disturbing to me that there continue to be ethnic Jews. They're not theological, and they don't care about the Jewish people one iota, who so successfully contribute to anti-Semitic organizations, people like Bernie Sanders, like George Soros, like Saul Alinsky, contributing to the philosophy. Let's look at it the other way. You've got Black Lives Matter, which is rabidly anti-Semitic, unless I am wrong, and I don't think I am, following a Jew, Saul Alinsky, getting funded by another Jew, George Soros. You know, you can't make this stuff up because nobody would believe it.
No, but they... The philosophy of Saul Alinsky is very, very useful and compatible with what Black Lives Matter wants to accomplish. Now, even though, like you say, Black Lives Matter is certainly an anti-Semitic organization, they fully embrace what's called the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, which is really a Hamas-inspired movement, and it's dedicated to the destruction of evil, to the destruction of Israel as an evil nation.
Mm-hmm.
They support Louis Farrakhan. The list goes on and on, and it's a terribly anti-Semitic organization.
Well, and we just heard recently, as an aside, that the father of this Jacob what's his last name? Jacob.
Blake.
Blake was revealed to be another Farrakhan aficionado who's anti-Semitic. There's Jew hatred all over his Twitter feed, and Joe Biden went and visited him. So
yes, he did. You know, yes.
What's with
a few?
Yeah, go ahead.
A couple of years back, there was a Republican congressman from Indiana. He introduced a resolution calling on the House to condemn Farrakhan because Farrakhan had referred to satanic Jews, and he talked about their time on Earth being through. And Black Lives Matter formally and vocally opposed that resolution, along with such allies as Al Sharpton and the New Black Panther Party. So we're talking about an organization that is rabidly anti-Semitic.
Yeah, there's a history there among radical black activist groups of hating Jews. Al Sharpton, long time ago, Hymetown and all of that. Can you speak to that a little bit about the history of that? Because it does go back even way predates Black Lives Matter and even Farrakhan. What's with all the hatred towards Jews? You would think on its face that there'd be some simpatico, but there never is and never has been.
No, the people you mentioned have tended to view Jews as their oppressors, and Marxists typically divide the world into the oppressor and the oppressed, the victimizer and the victim, and that is exactly how these black radicals of the movement we're discussing have viewed Jews. So they have had absolutely no compassion for them whatsoever and no desire to reach out. We see lots of evidence of violence against Jews in many black communities nationwide.
Yeah. You just have an amazing amount of knowledge because you've done so much of this. We only have a couple minutes before we break, and where I want to go when we come back, a little bit of a tease, and thank you for staying with us through the break so we have one more segment together, is if they're so appalled by the injustice of people getting killed, and we realize that this is the outward explanation. It's not the true motive, and that's what we're really talking about, is the true motive, the political motive of Black Lives Matter. But if they're so appalled by death and injustice, why are they committing murder? I mean, it's sort of like fighting for peace. Or, you know, it is amazing to me that they can justify so much violence, hatred, and destruction when they're claiming that they are for justice. Can you speak to that when we get back?
You bet.
Okay. We have a terrific guest, John Perrazzo, who is an author, commentator. He's with discoverthenetworks.org, a David Horowitz Freedom Center organization. He also writes for Front Page Magazine. When we come back, we'll have more with John Perrazzo. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. And boy, time goes fast on this show. There's so much to talk about. We are pleased to have with us, we're wrapping up with the final segment of Spouting Off, John Perrazzo, who's the editor of discoverthenetworks.org, a guide to the political left, and it's a project of David Horowitz. You were telling me during the break that you have a pamphlet that people can get for free. Why don't we go ahead and cover that now so we won't be rushed at the end?
Sure. It's a pamphlet on the Black Lives Matter movement, and it's available at frontpagemag.com. It's a pamphlet that it's about a 35-page pamphlet. It covers what we've been discussing here today and much, much, much more. And it's available for free on the site. And if someone wants a hard copy, they can pick it up for about $3, again, through Front Page Mag.
And you know what's really important is for our listeners to go there and send that, get a hold of it, and send it to your friends who have good intentions and all of that, but who do not know what they are supporting. There's a big, big difference between Black Lives Matter, the political organization, and whether Black Lives Matter. The interesting thing is, if you can demonize that you're somehow racist for saying all lives matter, then maybe you don't think all lives matter. And that leads me to the question I wanted to ask you before the break, which is if people who are out there protesting, and of course they're not protesters, there's a whole bunch of rioters mixed in with people who intend to be peaceful. And if they're so appalled by injustice and death that shouldn't have happened, if that's what they believe, how come they're committing so many crimes and even murder in the name of that?
Yeah, their profession of the idea that they're against violence and injustice is as big a lie as the rest of their platform. One of the things that I would point out is that they've made it very explicitly clear that they are, for example, opposed to the nuclear family as an institution. They want to dissolve it and get rid of it. Now, anyone who really cares about Black lives would never do such a thing, would never endorse such a thing, because 7 out of 10 Black babies born today are born into families where there are no fathers, where there is no traditional nuclear family, and they end up with all kinds of disadvantages in life and much more likely to end up in poverty, in prison, and in every way suffering tremendously. So just as this notion that Black Lives Matter is against violence directed at Black people, that's a lie. It's as big a lie as the notion that they're dedicated to the promotion of dignity and quality life for Black people. If they were, they would never, ever, ever promote the dissolution of the nuclear family structure. But they do it for one reason, which gets back to what we were talking before. It's a Marxist tenet. It's exactly what Marx and Engels wrote about. They said the dissolution of private property will lead naturally to the dissolution of the nuclear family. Because of that, that's why they endorse it. What it does to Black people is of no interest to them.
So basically what we've done is come full circle, that we talked about connecting the dots between race and Marxism, at least in terms of this political, virulently anti-American organization, and yet we connected the dots just now, which is that a nuclear family, which conservatives and others have been pushing in order that they're have the father back in the home, all of that contributes to independence, self-sufficiency, and freedom from the government. If you don't have a nuclear family, if you don't have private property, who are you depending on? Well, you're depending on the government, of course.
Yes.
And so government dependence, it's not a surprise that Democrats and LBJ created the Great Society that made inner cities the nightmares that they are, and made the Black community into the distressed kind of neighborhoods that they were. And now, finally, we're talking about that these are all Democrat run and controlled cities. So in fact, they've done the opposite for Black Lives. That's the point we need to make, is that they've actually not cared a whit about Black Lives. And that leads me to the $62,000 question, John Perrazzo, is this is deadly serious stuff. We're 60 days from an election, and our streets are burning, and there's a lot of lies flying around. How do we defeat such a virulently anti-American group? What can people do to enlighten their friends, family, their sphere of influence as to what this organization, and then, of course, we'd have to have you on again to talk about Antifa, because they're related, and what they're doing to our country?
Yes, well, the items that we've touched upon today are good to share with people. I think it's important to share information probably in bite-sized doses rather than massive amounts all at once, but it's important to get the truth out there. It's really difficult in this day and age because the popular culture has very much embraced the dogmas of Black Lives Matter. Wherever you look, celebrities, the sports world, entertainment, Hollywood, it's everywhere. Even in corporate America, you're constantly assaulted by the propaganda.
So yeah, it takes even, real courage. And it's Firefox. Firefox, they have little ads about Black Lives Matter. Do they understand what they're pushing? No, I don't know.
They sometimes are true believers, and in many cases, I think they're trying to insulate themselves from the possibility of being smeared as racists, because that's kryptonite now, you know, in this day and age. But you ask what we can do. I think we can follow the lead of the man that we thankfully have as president right now, who's had the courage to point out that Black Lives Matter is a Marxist and anarchist organization, very dangerous organization. He gets raked over the coals every time he does it, but he doesn't stop. And I think what his example is a good one to follow, just to be steadfast, understand what this organization is about, and share that information with the people we know. There's no other way. If we're quiet and we keep it to ourselves, they win, you know.
Boy, is that ever true. And we're finding that in all kinds of arenas that they are fighting us on, including the fraudulent way in which they've handled a coronavirus that's 99.8% non-lethal to most people. And yet we have people... Where I'll teach you a Yiddish word. I don't think you're Jewish, right?
No.
There's a word. I only grew up with a few words, but the word shmata means a rag. So to have a shmata on your face, to walk around in your life or in your job with a shmata on your face because some dictator, governor, or someone else told you you have to, when you know it makes no sense. Now, yeah, if people want to wear a mask, that's fine. But the people that are wearing them think that it's important. I've totally switched gears because this is one of the things that makes me crazy. The people that are wearing them have decided that they have a right to tell and force everyone else to do likewise. We only have 2 minutes left. So tell us one more time where they can get that free pamphlet, and you can probably, I assume, copy it off at Discover the Networks about what's really going on with Black Lives Matter.
Yes, we have a tremendous amount of information at discoverthenetworks.org, which is an encyclopedia of the American left. You can look up Black Lives Matter there and have a very lengthy expose of the organization. If for anyone who wants this pamphlet on Black Lives Matter, describing its Marxism and the danger that it poses, they can go to frontpagemag.com. It is free there, and if someone wants a hard copy, it's available for $3. It's well worth it if you want to share this information with other people.
Well, thank you. I got to wrap up the show, so hold on with me. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Spouting Off. Thanks to K-Star Radio Network. Thanks to Doug, my producer, who is wearing a second hat as a sidekick today on Spouting Off. And thanks to the listeners and to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be oh so much more to talk about here and spout off about here on Spouting Off.